Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Voices for Victory podcast. I'm your host, Mick McDonald. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and today we're shining a spotlight on breast cancer and the continued need for more research. Breast cancer is the most common cancer in the U.S. among women. And this year alone, there'll be more than 275,000 new cases and more than 42,000 deaths. In fact, 13% of all women in the U.S. will be diagnosed at some point in their lifetimes. Today, we speak with two women who are both taking on breast cancer. Jen Eaton has completed her initial treatments, and Katie Masters is still in the thick of her chemotherapy. Both had their lives turned upside down when they heard the words, "You have breast cancer." Up first, our conversation with Jen Eaton.
And I always have to think about what's important in life is to think to me of three things: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. Those are the three things that I try and do every day.
And joining us now on the Voices for Victory podcast is Jen Eaton. Jen, it's so great to have you.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So October, of course, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And Jen, you're currently taking on breast cancer. So to start off, when did you first realize something might not be right, or maybe just something was a little off?
Right. So I actually never did self-exams consistently. I did always get my mammogram starting at age 40, and I'm 43 now. And it was actually a few weeks before my 43rd birthday that I just happened to feel a lump on my right breast.
So once, you mentioned, it's easier said than done, right? To remember to do the self-exams and keep up with that. So you feel the lump. Is it immediate? Oh my gosh, I need to go see the doctor right away. Let's make an appointment today. Is it sort of walk me through the next few steps after you feel the lump?
Yeah. And so, and it's interesting because I'm actually an OBGYN physician myself, and we've always been trained that there's not even really data to support doing self-breast exams. And so I never particularly felt compelled myself to do them. But on that particular evening when I felt it, right away, I thought, just, this is weird. I wonder what that is. And I thought, is it just like some fat, or is it a lymph node or something? And my husband's a physician too. And so I actually had him feel it first and tell me what he thought. And he thought, well, it's probably nothing. We both thought it was probably nothing. Because again, as an OBGYN, I'm trained, like, if it's small, and if it moves around easily, and if it feels regular and round, then it's probably benign. So I actually thought that it was benign, but my mammogram wasn't due for another few months. And so I did what I thought was the safest thing, which was to reach out to my own OBGYN at that time. Although I actually felt a little bit silly doing so because I thought it was benign. And when I reached out to her, I sent her a message through the portal and I said, this is probably really silly. I'm sorry to even bother you with it, but I've got this lump and I'm wondering, with COVID, what should my next steps be? And she actually took it really seriously and she got me in for a mammogram that same week.
And I wonder too, and specifically with your, you being an OBGYN, the thought process of it's probably nothing, is that, just kind of, ingrained into your brain from so many exams and seeing a lot of things that are nothing, that's just kind of in your mind that, oh, it's probably nothing. Is that just from years of practice and kind of seeing a lot of things like that?
Yeah. Like I said, it just didn't have any of the features that I would consider to be worrisome. It was really small. It was really round and it moved around within the breast tissue. And those are all features which suggest a benign process, not a cancer. And then, my relatively young age and the fact that I don't have a strong family history of breast cancer, it crossed my mind a little bit that it could be cancer, sure, which is why I reached out. But really, I didn't think it was cancer. And so, yeah.
So then, you know, you go and you eventually do get the diagnosis that, you know, it is breast cancer. Yeah. When you hear those words, you know, you have breast cancer, what were the first thoughts that were running through your mind?
Well, the first time that I got worried was actually when I went for my imaging before I got the actual diagnosis. You know, it was really interesting that I got my mammogram, and in fact, the mammogram ended up being completely normal. So I had a normal mammogram, even with the cancer there. And because I had a lump that I could feel, they decided to do an ultrasound. And that is when there was concern that perhaps this wasn't a benign process. And I actually saw it in the eyes of the doctors doing my imaging, because I know how doctors look when they're worried. And I saw that look on their face, and I got the, you know, this might be cancer speech at the time. That same day, they kept me and did a biopsy. And although she didn't say, I really think this is cancer, I know how doctors talk to patients when they're worried that it's cancer. And I knew that that it might be bad news. And so I started worrying even that same weekend. But it wasn't until the following Monday when I got the call that it was cancer. And at that point, I had tried to talk myself into thinking that it was benign, even though they had given me all the worrisome language during the biopsy. And so I was still surprised that it was cancer, even at that point.
So once you get the official word, you know, that it is cancer, what was next steps for you? What was the game plan?
Yeah. I mean, the very first thing that I did was talk to my OBGYN doctor, and I called my husband. He was surprised as well. I was able to get in with a breast surgeon the very next day. At that point, we knew only about the small right-sided breast cancer, but she examined me and she felt a lump on the left side as well. She told me that she thought it was 100% benign, but went ahead and got me an MRI. And long story short is we ended up discovering that I actually had cancer in both breasts, neither of which had been seen in mammogram. And it was basically complete luck that I happened to feel one of them. And in fact, I actually had two separate cancers, different types in my left breast and one in my right breast, all of the, which were discovered just by my feeling that right one randomly. But it all happened very quickly. There were about 2 weeks where I had doctor's appointments or imaging studies or biopsies every single day leading up to the point that I had surgery.
So that was the thought was once they find the tumors that you had, that surgery was the move. Was there ever any doubts, any thoughts? They said surgery, and you said, let's do it.
Yeah. At that point, they didn't think that I was going to need chemotherapy. And so the plan was to start with surgery. When we thought it was a right-sided cancer only, we'd been talking about lumpectomy. But when I learned that I had two cancers, one in each breast, I made what I thought was a really easy decision at that point for a bilateral mastectomy. And I asked them to schedule it as quickly as they possibly could.
So then, sort of, how have things gone since you had the surgery? How are things going? The recovery from it, and then are there, you know, once you got the surgery done, what are the steps looking like after that?
Yeah. So thankfully I was active before the surgery, so the recovery from the surgery was hard, but it was okay. It wasn't until after we got the final pathology back from the surgery that we learned of the third cancer, and that's the one that actually required the chemotherapy. So a few weeks after surgery, I learned that I was going to need chemo. In the midst of all of this, I had accepted a new job in another state and was in the process of starting my new job and moving far away. And so I ended up waiting and then starting my chemotherapy as soon as I arrived at my new home. So I had to push my job start back for quite a while because my new job was basically a director role. So I was, I'm currently a director where I am now, where I've started, but I couldn't be in that leadership position while I was undergoing chemo. So I started my chemo. I did 4 cycles of chemotherapy. I actually was surprised at how well it went. I was very lucky. I didn't have a lot of side effects. I also did something called scalp cooling, which enabled me to keep my hair. So the idea is that you wear a very cold cap during the time that the chemo is being infused, and the cold cap makes the blood vessels constrict down so the chemo can't get to your hair follicles. And it actually works. I'd never even heard of it before, but I would say I kept about 70% of my hair. So, and that's been great because I do have young children and they don't have to see me looking like I'm sick.
Yeah. And I think that's a big part of it too, right? People talk about cancer treatment, the physical part of it. And mm-hmm. it sounds like luckily you've avoided a lot of that, which is fantastic news. But the emotional part of it, being able to keep most of your hair, I think is huge for the emotional side of things. You mentioned that makes it easier with your kids. How has the emotional side of treatment been for you, and how has it affected you, and kind of walk me through how you felt emotionally as you've kind of gone through the treatment?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a roller coaster. I've had a lot of unexpected things happen along the way. And so I've learned that I can't really plan. I'm usually a planner and I can't really do that. You know, I wasn't planning on them finding 2 additional cancers after they found the first one. I wasn't planning on needing chemotherapy. I also ended up having to have one of my tissue expanders removed. So when you have a mastectomy, if you want reconstruction, they put these things called tissue expanders where the breast tissue was removed, and then they expand them with salt water over time so that you can get them swapped out for implants. But I got an infection and ended up having to have one of them removed. And that was really a low point for me. Because in addition to the fact that it was disfiguring, now I have to have, it basically means 2 additional surgeries for me, which as a career woman with young children at home is a big deal, and it means a lot more recovery time. So, it's definitely been an emotional roller coaster. Thankfully, I have a really good support system.
So where do things stand now? How are you doing? What's sort of the future of your prognosis?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. I am extremely fortunate that I found that lump, and all 3 of my cancers were found on the early side because of that. So I consider myself very, very lucky. And I'm also really fortunate that I didn't have that bad of side effects from the chemotherapy, and I've been able to keep exercising. And as I mentioned before, I've started my new job. And so physically I'm doing great. And I think mentally I'm feeling well now too. I think it's even a little bit harder when you finish your chemotherapy treatment. It's like, that's been the focus for so long. And now I'm entering this next phase where I'll still be doing treatments, but they're more mild. And so there's a lot less doing and more time to just sit around and think. So I do still have fears about the cancer coming back. It's just going to be a challenge moving forward now that I'm not going to have a chemo to focus on to really focus my mind on the chemotherapy. I'm going to have to find other ways to keep my mind off of the fears that cancer instills in you.
For sure. And, you know, I think at least you have a good start with a new job and a couple of young kids. That's certainly a good start at keeping yourself busy. One last thing I wanted to ask you too, Jen, is, you know, unfortunately, there's still many, many people who are going to be diagnosed with breast cancer. As much as things has improved, you know, there's still going to be a lot of people who are diagnosed with breast cancer in the future. From someone who's gone through it, I wonder, for someone who maybe has just been diagnosed, what advice would you give to somebody, whether that's some, you know, advice on how to handle it emotionally or physically, or what would you maybe some words of wisdom give to someone who's just going through what you've been through?
Yeah, for me, getting answers as quickly as possible was really helpful. So, you know, getting all my appointments scheduled all in a row and just gathering information, knowing that those first few weeks, there's going to be a lot of information that comes your way, but then getting the information and making a plan. And don't be afraid to ask for a second or even third opinion if you feel that it will be helpful. From an emotional standpoint, I would say everybody with a cancer diagnosis, if they don't already have a therapist, should enlist a therapist. Most large cancer centers have therapists that work within them. So at the time that I started my my journey, I was at Duke, and the Duke Cancer Institute immediately assigned a therapist to me, which has been very, very helpful. I also was able to speak to a child life expert, which was extremely helpful in navigating the conversations with my children, how to explain to young kids that I have cancer, even explain to them a little bit what cancer is, those types of things. All of that was very, very helpful.
Well, that's, I think, wonderful advice for anyone maybe listening who knows someone who's going through sort of what you've been through. Jen, thanks so much for sharing your story with us today. Certainly best wishes as you continue moving forward, and we're glad to hear that you're doing well.
Thank you so much.
And now we chat with Katie Masters. And we're now joined on the Voices for Victory podcast by Katie Masters. Katie, thanks so much for coming on to chat with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and you were recently diagnosed with breast cancer. I want to go back to when you first maybe knew something was wrong or found something that alerted you that there might be a problem. Can you kind of walk us through initially when you found that there might be something going on?
Sure. So at first I didn't really... It's kind of looking back in hindsight now because I didn't really recognize a problem right away. But looking back, it was around the end of 2018. I initially noticed just a very small amount of drainage from my right breast and really didn't think anything of it. I mean, I questioned it for a minute, but, you know, I'm young. I told myself I'm healthy. There's no problem. Kind of ignored it. And then Over the next several months, I kind of noticed here and there a little bit of drainage, and then it kind of developed into a small ulcer. And still, I kept, you know, I'm a nurse, so we kind of have this attitude that we don't go to the doctor unless we're dying, and which is not great. But I kind of thought about it in the back of my mind. I looked up some things. I researched Paget's disease a long time ago. So it was in the back of my mind, but I just kind of kept telling myself that I was overreacting. And probably from the beginning of symptoms until I actually, you know, decided that I needed to seek medical care, unfortunately, it was about 9 months overall.
And I think that's something that young people in general tend to do a little too much of, right? It's, oh, I'll go to the doctor next month, or this will go away. It's not a big deal. And I think that's part of why it's important to you know, share stories like yours that, hey, you know, if something's a little off, just go get it checked out, right? Just go be sure and see what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, hindsight's 2020. So for it's sure. Easy to look back and say now that I should have gone to see a doctor earlier, but luckily, I think we still caught it early, so I was lucky in that respect.
Yeah. So when you did finally decide, okay, let's go get this checked out, kind of how did that process go when you went to go see your doctor and then, you know, finding out, okay, this is, I'm glad I came. There's definitely something going on.
Yeah. So initially, I went to my primary care provider and, you know, she said, let's just get a mammogram and make sure nothing's going on. And so I had my first mammogram in November, I think, of 2019. And it was actually negative. So she called and said, you know, it's probably just a skin issue, nothing to worry about. So you don't need to come back. And so I had a little sense of relief there, but, sure. You know, a couple more months went on and this ulcer wasn't going away. And in the back of my mind, I know, what non-healing ulcers mean. Like I'm in the medical field. I know what that means. So I went to see my gynecologist and he referred me to a breast surgeon who, did a biopsy right away. And, after the biopsy was done, I kind of knew what it was, but you know, you never fully know until they call you and tell you, hey, you've got breast cancer. So obviously that was a big shock to hear, even though I kind of had a feeling and knew it in the back of my mind.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like you had kind of prepared yourself at that point where, you know, you're in the medical field, you kind of have an idea of these things, but still when, you know, even if you thought maybe, okay, we might be headed down this road, when you get that confirmation that they say, you know, you do have cancer, how emotionally for you, how did you handle that? What was like the next thought in your head? Kind of walk us through that thought process when, even if you're a little prepared, it's still got to be just overwhelming to actually hear those words.
Yeah, it is still a shock. I mean, I found out over the phone. She knew that I was a nurse practitioner, so she didn't want to make me wait, you know, any longer than I needed to wait. And so she called and I was just nervous, shaking, you know, it was just a shock. So I processed it and then, you know, called my family and updated them. But yeah, very shocking, regardless of what you think you know.
Of course, yeah. So how quickly then did that go to, okay, so what are the next steps? What are we going to do? All right, here's the situation I'm in. What's next?
Yeah. So because I'm 32 years old, so I'm relatively young for this. And so she recommended doing genetics testing before I made any decision on treatment. So I did that and found out that I have two genetic mutations, CHEK2 and ATM. Not the BRCA, which is the big one for breast cancer, mm-hmm. but they do still significantly increase my risk of breast cancer. So with that knowledge, I made the decision to do a bilateral mastectomy. I had that done in July, started reconstruction a week later with tissue expanders, and then started chemo the beginning of August.
And so how are you doing right now? You had the surgery in July. You're on a chemo program. How are things going right now?
Actually better than I kind of expected. I'm halfway through chemo. I have my fourth of six rounds actually tomorrow. The first round was a little rough. I had, you know, fevers for a week and my side effects were, the worst that they have been the mm-hmm. first round. But since then I've kind of been able to figure out, you know, which days I'm going to feel the worst and need to rest. And so, feel like I've been lucky to not have really bad side effects.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. I wonder about you mentioned the physical side effects that you've had, and you know, thank goodness they haven't been maybe as bad as they could have been. Mm-hmm. The emotional side of it, though, going through the treatment that you've had to go through, how have you kind of dealt with that? Just emotionally, it's certainly, you know, a ton to take on. You're, like as you mentioned, you're still very young.
Yeah.
How has the emotional side of going through the treatment and everything been for you? How have you kind of handled that?
Well, you know, I keep telling myself that this is temporary. I think the hardest thing for me was losing my hair, which I had accepted. I knew it was going to happen. I know it'll grow back, but I don't think I was, as prepared as I thought I was for losing my hair. That was a very emotional thing for me to go through. I think most women that have to go through this do have an emotional sure. attachment to their hair that they don't yeah. really realize until they lose it. So, you know, that was hard. But, you know, I've bought a ton of hats and scarves and, you know, do what I can to, you know, wigs are not really for me, but mm-hmm. they work well for some women, and that's great. But I think another thing is my faith in God has really given me a lot of peace. So, you know, keeping my spiritual and mental health in check has helped to get me through it.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, Katie. You know, people who I've talked to either on the podcast or for other things with the V Foundation who have gone through or are going through, you know, through cancer have said that, you know, a big thing for them is not being defined just as a cancer patient or, you know, just having cancer define their lives. They want to have other things that they can focus on. What have been those things for you so far? It sounds like your faith's been a big part of getting you through it. What else has been kind of, you know, what you focus on to get away from everything that's going on?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of family and friends that have been super supportive, and just being able to get out of the house and go visit them, talk about other things has helped kind of distract me. But also, I was able to start going back to work last month, not full time, but here and there when I can. And that has just helped me to like get back into my normal routine, help me feel like a normal human being, not, you know, just getting my mind elsewhere, keeping my mind occupied instead of just letting it wander down the cancer rabbit hole has helped me to feel normal.
Definitely. And I think that's important, and it's great to hear that you've gotten to get back to work too. I'm sure that's a big positive for you. I wonder just kind of the world right now, right? We have the COVID-19 pandemic that's ongoing. Has that at all affected your kind of like confidence in going to treatments or getting out and about? How has that sort of changed from a regular life where you're very irregular in what your life is right now, but with everything else that's going on in the world, kind of how has that affected you?
Well, I mean, I guess normally you're allowed to take a family member or friend with you to chemo and to your appointments and things. And that hasn't been an option for me because of this pandemic that's going on. But I've dealt with that pretty well just because I have a medical background and I am pretty emotionally, you know, independent person. I live by myself. So that's kind of been not a huge issue for me. As far as work goes, I work in the hospital. So getting back to work, it's been a little bit of a challenge. My oncologist doesn't want me around those sure. infectious patients. So unfortunately, I've had to, you know, try my best to avoid taking care of those patients at all costs. So it's been a little bit challenging, but I'm thankful that I am able to get back to work.
So I wonder, again, we talked about, you know, how young people sometimes can put things to the back of their mind or kind of, you know, say, oh, I don't need to go to the doctor, those kind of things. For someone who maybe has had their diagnosis, who is also a younger person, because I think as younger people, you tend to think about this as something that affects more older people, right? But if there's another young person listening to this, who's just had a diagnosis and is getting ready to kind of go down the path that you're already on, are there a couple pieces of advice you might give to them to kind of help them get through it?
Yeah, first of all, you know, definitely write down all of your questions. It's a lot of information to take in all at once. So write down everything and take your questions back to your doctors. I would say get a second opinion if you're not comfortable with your treatment plan, or if you just want another person's opinion before you make decisions, definitely get a second opinion. Joining support groups has been really helpful for me, both in person and online. There's huge support groups on Facebook that you're able to connect with more young people than you are usually in a local support group. Just unless you live in a big city, there's not usually a lot of people your age at those groups. But I've joined some groups online that have some younger cancer patients that are able to just talk, and it's very helpful to talk to somebody that's already going through the same thing that you're going through, and answer questions, things like that. So I found that really helpful.
Well, I think that's wonderful advice for anyone who's going through this. And Katie, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us today. Best of luck to you as you continue your treatments. And hopefully we can have you on down the road when you finish them up to come back on and tell us how everything's going.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Jen Eaton and Katie Masters for taking the time to talk with us today and share their stories. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. And hey, maybe we've inspired you to give. If so, you can go to v.org to make a donation today. Also, be sure to follow the V Foundation on your favorite social media channels at the V Foundation and engage with us there as well. You can subscribe to the Voices for Victory podcast anywhere you listen, so you'll see our new episodes as soon as they're posted. And don't forget the nice comments and 5-star reviews, please. Until next time.
To me, there are 3 things we all should do every day. We do this every day of our life. You're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number 2 is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number 3 is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.